Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I am, as you just heard, in Milwaukee. By growing up here, living here, you could assume that I'm a fan of the teams here, and you would be right. I like the Packers. I like the Bucks. I like the Brewers. Today, though, I went to enemy territory. Went down to Wrigley Field for the home opener to see Carlos Ortiz off tonight. Ray Jarvis is in. And many updates. I know that's why you're all plugged in tonight. Many updates on Bart and Carlos's day of fun coming up in a little bit. We'll start the hour off with some quick notes regarding the NFL. Three little nuggets of information that I want to share with you. First of all, yesterday, the big news, Joe Milton traded to the Cowboys. Dak Prescott needs to talk to a real estate agent, LeSean McCoy said. Guys, come on. Come on. But I wondered, where's Trey Lance, actually? Where is Trey Lance? Dallas decided to trade for him and then did not retain his services. That's fine. They wanted Joe Milton. That's fine. They lost Cooper Rush to Baltimore. They wanted Joe Milton. Trey Lance signed with the Chargers today on a one-year deal worth up to $6.2 million. So he will be there along with Easton Stick. I don't know if I think it was James in Georgia. James in Georgia. Once we change the phone number, I feel like some of you either stopped listening or don't know how to get it. There's a new phone. It's 888-710-4ISN. They're just like a complete group of people that we no longer hear from. Is that why we changed the phone number? I don't know. I didn't change it. But James is the guy. He asked me, I believe it was him. There was certainly somebody that called a lot about Easton Stick. Well, he's got some competition. I wonder with Trey Lance how different things would have been if COVID didn't happen, really. Because Lance was at North Dakota State, and then the 2020 season was postponed due to COVID. And then I believe some of these FCS schools, didn't they play in the spring? Or try to play in the spring. But he only played one game anyway. He played one game, still got drafted very high. San Francisco traded a lot of picks for him. Remember, I'll say the line, Bart. Jerry Jones gets openly criticized for trading a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance. And I'm sure many made fun of him today for doing that, especially when they did not keep him. Okay. You got to remember, though, that San Francisco traded three first-round picks to get Trey Lance to begin with and then only could recoup a fourth-round pick. So I think the sentence has a beginning and it also has to have a completion. But he signed with the Chargers. One guy who will be signing with nobody is Julio Jones. Julio Jones calling it a career, 36 years old. A seven-time Pro Bowl selection, a two-time first-team All-Pro during his 13 seasons. He twice led the NFL in receiving yards, is the Falcons' all-time leader in receptions and receiving yards, and his 60 touchdowns rank second in Atlanta history behind Roddy White, 60-63. He last played for the Eagles in 2023 and now officially has retired. And then the other note comes from The Athletic with the Scoop City podcast. Diana Russini and Chase Daniel are on that. And Diana was giving her insights regarding the tush push. Talked a lot about that this week with the rules and the changes and everything that happened there. On the podcast, Diana says Roger Goodell does not like the play. He thinks it's ugly. He doesn't think it's a football play. One of the guys that stood up for the tush push is Sean Payton. He said there's a better chance of us getting in a car wreck on the drive to the link than for these players to be injured in the tush push. She thinks because it was tabled at the league meeting, they're going to eventually ban the tush push come May. Some of the owners want to be in line with Goodell. Some believe it's an ugly play, and some believe they just can't beat it, so they want to ban it. That's what a lot of you are accusing the Packers of for proposing it, as they are 0-3 in this tush-push era, I suppose we'll say, against Philadelphia. I am typically, I'll just give you my tush-push thoughts one more time. I typically am somebody that if you come up with a way to win, the way that you should be stopped is by somebody beating you. So if you don't like the tush push, beat it. Beat the tush push. I did not like what happened in the NFC Championship game where the Commanders tried by leaping over the line, trying to get the count exactly right, because the Eagles also do that. Also, everybody does seem like they line up offsides, and it is a rugby play. I'm more than fine with the tush push being banned. However, I don't think it should be a safety thing. I think some of these guys are acting about like, well, we want to do it for safety. No, that's not it. You just say you don't like it. Say the Eagles do a really good job of stopping it and they're doing it and it's hard to stop. Say that. Say that. Say, look, it's a play with a high percentage of being completed by this team. And the last time there was a play that had a high percentage of being completed was the extra point. So you moved it back 37 yards to make things more interesting, or however many yards. Just say it. Just say it. I don't like it because I don't think you should be able to push a guy at all. And you used to not be able to, but now you can. If Jalen Hurts wants to slip underneath the line, that's fine. But the pushing, the tush push. I'm fine with a QB sneak that looks like a tush push. I can't say that I'm in love with the tush push. So she seems to think, and the reporting was from Kalen Kaler, that it was split 16-4, 16 against. And now they'll have a couple of months, I guess, to kind of persuade each other for votes. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Plenty going on this weekend. We're following here the women's Final Four, where I think, I mean, these are the four best teams, right? After USC lost Juju Watkins, so we want to see really good games. We're not seeing really good games. We're seeing dominant performances. South Carolina beat Texas tonight, 74-57. UConn is currently at the end of three, up 60-37 over UCLA. So that could give us a good UConn-South Carolina championship. But you think once you get down to the Final Four, you should be in for some good matchups. That's something that we're expecting with the men, because we've seen dominant performances. And what we're hoping for now is that since you have these top teams finally playing each other, we're hoping Florida and Auburn is a classic. We're hoping Houston and Duke is a good one, because a lot of the conversation around this tournament, while there's been different angles, sure, manager here and coach here, I think the prevailing theme has been you find it boring. So hopefully we get some good games this weekend to satisfy our need for everything to be super exciting. I guess, you know, if you like a TV show, you're not going to watch it if it's boring. You're not going to watch a movie. You don't want to watch paint dry. We want to see good games. Eric is in Texas. He calls at 888-710-4ISN. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, Bart?
Hey, man.
What if I told you one of your listeners has a chance to win the whole bracket on ESPN?
Like your group or the entire thing?
The entire thing. I'm ranked 2,000 out of 24 million people. I've only got four wrong in the field of 64 and two wrong in the round of 32 and zero since then.
So what's the outcome you need to win?
I need for Houston to beat Duke, and that would really shoot me up the ladder, and then Florida to beat Houston in the final.
And you know that you would win, or you played it out, or what?
No, I just got a hunch that everybody, like most people, pick Duke because that's all people talk about. But I'm in the 99.
There's got to be a way that I can view like the standings of the ESPN brackets, right? Got to be a way.
Yeah, I tried, and it goes through, like, the first, like, 20 people, and I can't see past that. But I sent the screenshots to Carlos on Messenger on Monday, so he's got my screenshot. So you can see it. It's crazy. I can't believe I'm doing this good.
Do you know, not to get too in the weeds, do you know what your max amount of points you can get is?
I do not. I know the last round was worth, I can't remember if it was 80 or 160, and I'm only 50 back of first place.
All right, so you need what in the final again?
I need Florida to beat Houston.
Okay.
And I'm only 50 away from first.
Now, do you get anything if you win?
It said, I Googled it because I can't find it on ESPN, but when I Googled it, it says there's a big group of people who split $2 million, so I'd just like to get into that. You know what I mean?
Let me see here. So I think, because there's different, like, I'm in a bracket on Yahoo, I'm in one on CBS, I'm in one on ESPN, but when you join a group, you can join a group and then automatically have it with everybody, or you can just do a free one with everybody. Here's what I found. Correctly select the national champion to be eligible to win a grand prize. Additionally, you can win a first prize. I don't know. If you do good enough, it sounds like you'll win some money.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun.
The story about it is that night you talked to me that night and I said I was working at the car dealership and I was going to make my picks when I got home. Well, I got home at midnight and I went to bed and my box fan burned up. And then I was listening to trains go through town all night and I couldn't sleep. So I turned ESPN for some background noise to drown the trains out. And then I was like, oh crap, I forgot to fill out my bracket. So I only took 5 minutes and just went with my gut. And everybody was talking about Clemson the next day. I kept Fairfield in there, and I kept Arkansas beating St. John's. I just went with my gut, and I'm doing really well.
So I couldn't pick up on that. Are you attributing filling out the bracket to me or not?
Yeah, I'm winning because of Bart's wisdom.
So the next question, obviously.
Cut the check.
What's Uncle Bart get here if you win?
I'll cut Uncle Bart in for 20%.
Okay. All right. Sure. Yeah. My Cash App is Bart Winkler.
Okay. You got it, sir.
Don't give me money. All right, Eric. Congrats.
Has Barry from Boston called in yet?
I haven't heard him. We changed the number, and Barry in Boston I have not heard from, no.
Okay, I was just wondering. I hope he's okay.
He may have called in a night I was not here, but I am not. I don't have that reporting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for taking my call, Bart. You have a good weekend, sir.
All right, Eric, you too. 888-710-4ISN could have a very good weekend. Yeah, if you guys ever hear something I say and then make money off of it, you want to slice me in. But on that token, if I ever say something and then you lose money, I'm not paying you. So maybe let's not start that relationship. The thing that I got to get over, Ray, my problem has been that I keep saying things on the air and then not following through.
Yeah, I don't think, that's a good idea. you got to follow through.
Well, I keep saying predictions on air. I keep saying like last year, it might have been in one show I said, the San Francisco 49ers are not making the playoffs next year. The Detroit Pistons are. I didn't put any money on that.
Oh.
This year I said I was all chalk. And then when I fill up my bracket, I got all weird and put Clemson to the Final Four.
What?
And the one that stings the most for me is I did say many times that the Eagles would win the Super Bowl and it would be a blowout. I said that if they're going to win, they're not going to win a close game. It's going to be a blowout. Now, I tried to do well financially. And so I was looking for like alternate lines. I saw minus 12. I saw 13. Wasn't big enough for me. Payout wasn't big enough. So finally, I saw minus 19. I took the Eagles to win the Super Bowl by 19 points. And I was feeling pretty good when they were up 34-0. Do you remember the score of the Super Bowl? It was 40-22. Do you know what the difference of those two numbers is? 18.
Bart.
Who takes the Eagles to win in a blowout? Then they win in a blowout, but it wasn't a big enough blowout. Oh. Come on.
Well, this is why you didn't put money on the other things. The minute you put a little cash on it, things go the other way.
Very disappointed in myself. But just the mention, I don't think I even gave Eric any advice. I think I just was talking about a bracket, and he remembered to fill in a bracket. Thank goodness that I also made sure that the trains by his house were running that night,
right,
so that he would not be able to sleep. So I'm very glad that everything worked out, and we'll see. He needs Florida to beat Houston, I think he said. That would be interesting. I hope now for the show that we get that and we can hear from Eric.
Well, let's see what he wins, because ESPN has a very crowded bracket. I'm sure he might not be the only one who could claim victory by the end of this weekend.
Yeah, this isn't like your company bracket where there's 35 people. Everybody that uses ESPN is involved. I think even if you just sign up for a group, you automatically get entered.
Wow.
One winner receives 10,000. I don't know. I'm trying to read the rules, but there's a difference between if you've made the group or if a grand prize winner. It may even be like if you pick the winner, it's randomized. I don't know. If you guys want to follow up on that, ESPN is a website with rules. I don't feel like it would be in anyone's best interest for me to read through the T's and C's of this contest. But it is available for you. So there you go, ESPN. Chad's in Green Bay. What's up, Chad?
Hey, Bart. It's so nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Chad. What's happening?
Well, you know, it's so funny you were talking about, you're asking about who you wanted to win the Final Four, and people were saying Florida, and it got me thinking, because Florida's not really, you know, known for being ahead in basketball. It brought me back to a time at about, I think it was 2015. Do you remember when the Badgers played Kentucky in the Final Four, and then we ended up playing Duke?
How could I forget? We were all coming off the pain of the Packers blowing a lead in Seattle. And so even the most like fair weather of Badger basketball fans decided to take all that Packer frustration, put their hopes into this Badger team, only for that to come crashing down, possibly worse, against Duke.
It possibly worse, but remember, it was opening day on the day that they played the game. It was just like an euphoria of sports, which was awesome. But it's funny that you mentioned that about the Packers, because we've been to the NFC Championship how many times, and yeah, it's great, but I'd almost rather not have to go there half the time, because they don't understand. These teams don't understand the heartbreak that we feel every year in the playoffs. And I guess my question to you is two things, and I'll be quick because I know you got a lot of callers, is A, what is your favorite sports memory? It doesn't even have to be within Wisconsin. For me, it would be obviously the two Super Bowls, the Bucks winning the championship, and then that win against Kentucky, which was
sports memory?
Yes, it could be just like maybe a play or something that like you remember where you were and how excited you were when it happened.
I think, and there's many ways I could go with this.
I know, right?
If it's about like one of my teams, it would either be the 96 Super Bowl or the 2021 Bucks.
I was in fifth grade. My life is before the Packers won the Super Bowl and after Packers won the Super Bowl in 96. My life changed completely. 2010 was cool too. But anyways, second thing I wanted to mention, a couple of weeks ago you were talking about taking the train. I don't know if you decided on anything on that, but I definitely recommend taking an Amtrak with your son just across the United States. It is such a great experience. I don't know if you remember talking about this, but I wanted to also tell you that, because I did it and it was the best experience ever. Being like on a plane.
Where did you go on the train?
So I went. I left Chicago Union Station, which was new to me. I was by myself, and it was really scary. And then I went to Washington Central Union Station down to West Palm Beach. And what I found during the train ride is, think of it as like a plane experience, but everybody is kind of like free to do whatever. You can go and have drinks. You can go hide in like the cafe car. You can go look at the skylight. But you become friends with all these people, and they're, and then you see all these places in America that like you never see in a highway. Like you see like backyards and like open fields, and like I remember going through West Virginia and thinking, oh my gosh, like this is insane. Like this is exactly how I pictured West Virginia. Like, you know, tarps everywhere. And I just thought, I remember you telling me that, I'm thinking, I should really tell him to try that, especially maybe with his son, because it's something that like stuck with me. I'm like, I'm afraid of flying, but because everybody's so relaxed on the train and like so open, it just is such a great experience. But and it's cheap too. It was like $180 to go to West Palm Beach.
Chad, thanks for the call. Gotta let you go. Good call. We took a train from Milwaukee to Chicago a couple of weekends ago. It's a 90-minute ride. So, you know, it was fine. You do see some things that you don't see in the typical drive there. You do kind of, at some places, you go through cities and, like, you go and there's apartments where they're backyards. Like, you see backyards. And then I was talking about if I go to a game in Denver this year, I thought about taking the train. It's 24 hours. Obviously that's a 90-minute train is going to be different than the train you're talking about. I don't know what age he would have to be for that to be something that he would enjoy. Also, the part of that that gives me the heebie-jeebies, I don't want to make friends on any mode of transportation. I don't talk to the person I'm next to on the plane. I don't like, you know, you ever go to vacation and you're like at the hotel pool bar or something, and then another couple swims up to you and you're like, where are you from? And you see a guy with a, like you're wearing a Packer hat and he's wearing a Wisconsin hat. That's my experience. You could be like something like that. Well, where are you from? Where are you from? Small world. Yeah, small world. What a small world that during the week of spring break, two people from a cold state decided to fly to one of the 9 resorts that we thought were safe in better weather. Small world. Even though we live 350 miles apart, small world. Oh, do you know this guy? Do you know that guy? No. I. Small world. Come on. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. It is the Bart Winkler Show. Big day in baseball, as there are no longer any undefeated teams. The Dodgers lost to the Phillies tonight. The Cubs beat the Padres this afternoon in the Cubs home opener at Wrigley Field. A couple of weeks ago, Carlos Ortiz, executive producer of this program, told me he was going to fly from New York to Chicago to go to the game. And I said, Carlos, I should meet you down there. And he said, really? And I immediately thought, what have I done? Because normally I say big things and then I back out. But I didn't back out. Carlos and I got together, met as humans for the first time, and had one hell of a time. And he is now joining us on the show. It's been a couple hours. I miss you, kind of, I think.
I don't think that you did whatsoever. It was a hell of a time. It was fantastic. I had a ball. But let me tell you, my body is paying for it right now. The culmination of the last 72 hours and the fact that I cannot sleep merely, 5 to 6 hours before my flight. Here I am calling into the show just to let everybody know and commiserate with my misery right now.
Yeah, so the way this was going to go was Carlos said, if I'm up, I'll call. And then I said, okay. And he said, I won't be up. So then I like planned to go a different direction. And then I was... Now you're calling, and so even when you're not producing, you're ruining the producing value of the show. Because then I went super late in segment one. Then you call. Now I'm gonna make McCarthy sit there for 12 minutes. Sorry, Pete. Not 12. I'll get out sooner than that. But why is your body hurting? You barely did anything.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the rain acting up around here or if it's the immense amount of walking that I had to do. But it's like I feel every bit of almost 40, and I never used to feel like that. But at least it was for a good cause. We had a good time, although getting out of Wrigley Field, whoever is the architect needs to be, you know, tried for war crimes because how long did it take us to get out of there? It was forever.
Oh, yeah, and you're not even talking about, like getting out of a parking lot or getting out of the area. We were leaving the stadium, and then we were stuck there for a good, I don't know, must have been 10 minutes. We, like, stuck as in didn't move stuck, and we were unsure why. Couldn't move anywhere.
Yeah, it was a human traffic jam just to get out into the street, but listen, other than that small little thing, I thought everything went swimmingly. We didn't have any awkward pauses. There wasn't like a, hey, do we handshake? Do we hug? Do we like, I think everything was
this
natural.
This sounds like a very awkward first date. What's going on?
Yeah, so, well, Carl, because so on the way the show, and I don't think it's a secret. I don't think people don't know. I mean, the thing says I'm in Milwaukee, and Carlos and Ray, you guys are in New York, and I think that's fine. Like, JR's in Atlanta, and Bill's in L.A. or wherever. I don't not really know where Bill is.
He's in L.A.,
but, yeah. So, you know, that's fine. You know, that's fine if people fill in, you know, from Kansas City or wherever. So we've talked a lot and FaceTime and all that stuff, but Carlos and I physically haven't been in the same spot together. It sounds like you were more nervous about an interaction between us than, like, if the Cubs were going to win or not.
Well,
you're acting like you've never met a person you've met before.
Well, I always go into a Cubs game expecting the worst. And what happened in the ninth inning, it almost delivered. I had to sweat that one out. I don't think I was nervous about the interaction. It's always just like, all right, who actually is this person when you're going into something? I will say this for everybody.
I do a show with you every night.
True, but again, I haven't stood in the same air as you. So there's always just that little bit of difference.
Come on, Carlos. You overthinking this. Did you bring flowers to it? What happened here, man?
No. In fact, I came 2 minutes late. My lift wouldn't get there on time.
Oh, you tried to big time him.
The first thing I told Bart is like, wow, you're not as tall as I thought you were. So I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
that
was insulted
that,
right
that,
off the bat.
I didn't like that. How tall are you, Carlos?
I'm 5'10".
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, it just, I don't know if it's because I always see you with a beanie hat or something on your head. I for whatever reason, I thought you would be this towering 6'2", 6'3" figure. And I'm like, oh, I'm my level.
I think I've said my height on the show many times because I say I'm 5'10 and a half.
Oh, you assume I hang on every single word. There are sometimes I miss your cues to go to cuts.
Yeah. There are sometimes you don't listen at all.
Let's pull back the curtain, why don't we?
Yeah.
If we know we burned this curtain to the ground. Nothing's sacred on this show.
Yeah, the curtain got ripped off pretty much day one. There's no curtain on this show anymore. Yeah, I didn't. But you know what's funny about that is I was before because I was outside a bar in Wrigleyville and I was waiting for you because I got there first and I was thinking, I wonder how tall this guy is.
Oh, man.
So I was thinking
too. Would you have felt different if I, like, hopped out of the car and I'm, like, 5'6", and, like, 4 inches shorter than you? Or, conversely, if I'm, like, 6'4". It's like you almost get, like, a comfort level. Like, all right, we're in the same wheelhouse. Great.
Okay, for the sake of this conversation, Ray, how tall are you?
I'm 6 feet, man. I don't have them 5'10 problems.
Okay. So being 5'10", this is how I've experienced life, is that I think a lot of guys are about 5'9", 5'10", 5'11".
You're being generous. There's a lot of 5'7 kings out here, man. We are the elite. Let's be clear about this.
Well, no,
don't lump us in with those guys.
So at 5'10",
you're elite.
I've always felt that I'm shorter or the same height as most other guys I interact with, and I'm comfortable with that.
Same.
Now, I don't know how they are around me being shorter, because when I'm around shorter people than me, because 5'10", you know, 5'10", I'm not 6 feet. I don't think 5'10 short, but when I'm around someone who's like 5'8", I'm like, it's weird for me to be the taller guy in a thing. So, well, I was.
You got to think about it. You're around athletes, you know, but the common man is about 5'8". You're playing center at the rec league.
Oh, God.
My knee would disagree.
I just feel like I've always been short, I guess. I always felt like I've been short at 5'10". Maybe we're taller in the Midwest. Not as many short kings. I don't know. But I was both relieved, horrified, mad, and surprised that you said the first thing out of your mouth was, at least you didn't say, I thought you'd be skinnier or fatter. You didn't comment on my weight.
No, you looked exactly like I would have pictured it. Like, you are Bart. I'm like, all right, that's the guy right there. There's no mistaking about it.
Okay. All right. That's good. And instead of talking about heights and our flirtations with each other, I think that we did have a good time at the game. I want to let everybody know what I did in terms of paying respect to where I was, because I am not a Cubs fan, and I went to this game to be with Carlos. Now, I grew up a Cubs fan for a little bit because they were on TV all the time, and Milwaukee was in the American League. So I had a National League team and an American League team. The Brewers were on TV like once a month, you know, but I liked them because it was the Milwaukee, and then the Cubs, they were on TV all the time. So I watched them, especially during the summer when I was at home. They switched, whatever, but I'm not a Cubs fan. So I certainly would not wear anything Cubs. I would not do it, but I also didn't want to wear something Brewers. Now, I saw one guy, there was one guy that was decked out in like all Devil Rays stuff. And if you go to a baseball game between two teams and you wear something totally random, that's fine. But I feel like if you go to a Cubs game, like if I wore even a Mets shirt, that's one thing. I don't think I can be wearing Brewers. I don't think I can be wearing Cardinals if they're not playing against each other. If the Brewers were playing, I would have obviously worn Brewers. So I did not wear anything baseball at all. There was one guy we ran into that has known me from shows I've done for a while, and he wanted me to hold up the W flag with him. And I took a picture with him earlier, and then we ran into him again. And I simply said, I cannot, I'll stand with you next to it, like being annoyed, but I'm not holding this flag. I did not hold the flag. I thought that was fair enough, so I paid respect, but also, you know, I didn't really cheer when the Cubs did anything good. I did clap for the pitcher when he had a nice outing. Imanaga had a nice
Yes,
outing.
You did appreciate the quality start. Shota Imanaga goes 7 1/3, 4 strikeouts, you know, nothing crazy, but, you know, held the Padres lineup in check. You did clap for that because you can appreciate a good performance. But yeah, it was such a weird dynamic where Bart is just kind of sitting on his hands and I'm jumping around yelling, clapping, cursing at things that don't go our way. But I thought you played it in terms of your appearance, your outfit, you played it perfectly, being the Brewers fan that you are. Because I did tell you as we were stuck in traffic, in our human traffic, that one of my pet peeves is going into the stadium and not wearing something, either team. I don't care if you were a Padres fan. Like, at least you wear the Padres paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. But if you show up and you're wearing, like, and I have this, even if it's a Chicago sport, if you're wearing a Bears coat to a Cubs game, I'm annoyed. Because I'm like, all right, it's a different sport.
Now, there's Packer jerseys there, like, at Brewers games all the
right.
time.
I find that an annoyance, but I'm like, all right, you know what? You're still in the same literal ballpark, it's your city. Okay, no problem. But
the thing we screwed up was
mm-hmm.
we should have planned it better where, because the Brewers played at night. So the Cubs ended around 4. The Brewers played at 7:10. We would have gotten back to Milwaukee around 6:45 is when I got back. We could have done both games. You could be here with me doing the show. Or no, we would have taken off. We'd be out at the bars right now. God, we screwed up.
We would not be working. We would both, like, hopefully have a couple of pops. And I don't mean soda in the Midwest vernacular. I'm talking about some actual alcohol libation we had. That would have been a great plan. I would have loved that. But I also have a flight in like a couple hours. So like this was just kind of slapped together. Let's see what we can do. Get milk any couple of minutes of content and make it happen. But I'm glad that it went as well as it did.
Well, it was nice to meet you.
Yeah, now we go back to our normal lives where you're just the disembodied voice.
See you again, never.
I'm like, all right, good to meet you. I'll talk to you on Monday, whatever it cuts, but probably never see you again.
Yeah, Carlos, get some sleep, dude. Get out of here.
All right, Ray, Bart, see you, gentlemen.
Have a good one, Carlos.
Carlos Ortiz. Hey, Carlos, what's up? I thought you'd be taller. That's going to be one of those kind of days. Okay, all right. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Pete McCarthy. That is the phone number. We got a couple minutes for you before hour number three is set to kick off. 888-710-4ISN. Mike is in Chicago. Let's go right to him. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Bart. You actually just mentioned it in your conversation with Carlos. I am the guy who came up to you after the Cubs game today with my W flag and tried to get the picture with you.
Mike, you seemed a little different before I saw you during the game and then after I saw you.
Definitely. I very much indulged in the time in between, but feeling much better now. And obviously, you know, on cloud nine after a win for my boys. I got a question for you. As it pertains to a certain manager that is currently managing the Cubs and used to be the manager of your favorite team, Craig Counsell, you know, the Cubs kind of have a little bit of a closer issue. Ryan Pressly has kind of been shaky in his first few outings as Cubs closer. And kind of a guy who is deemed as, like, the best bullpen arm for the Cubs is Porter Hodge. And he's a guy that Craig is typically used in the eighth inning. And I'm wondering, like, you know, going back to when Craig was in Milwaukee and had like Josh Ader and Devin Williams and Corey Knebel, like, would he default to like using the best arm against like matchup more so than against like using him as a closer?
Well, he did that for a while with Josh Ader, where they used Josh Ader. They used him in a way where just because you need three outs at the end of the game in the ninth inning doesn't mean that those are the three most important outs. You might save your closer and then it's 7-8-9 and you know you have no problem with them, or you're up and then you might not need the closer. So there was a time where they were using Hader in like those situations. That kind of got astray because then Josh Hader got all bent out of shape that he doesn't want to pitch more than one inning. And then, you know, these guys, they want to pitch the ninth inning, and for some reason guys like can't handle it if they come in and it's not a save situation. So they did it for a while, but then eventually it got to be, especially with the new rules about you got to face so many guys, it got to be to the point where nothing that Craig did to me looked different than anything anybody else was doing.
Gotcha. All right. Well,
you wanted the bullpen flip-flop today?
Not necessarily, but I do think like eventually Porter Hodge is going to become the Cubs closer. He just got called up last year, was really good in his short time in the major leagues. But I think last year they went into it with Adbert Alzolay closing games for them after like a pretty hot 2023, and that kind of backfired on him. So I'm happy that they didn't exactly like dive right into that same strategy with Hodge, but I think probably by the end of this year, you know, especially if Pressly continues to struggle and Hodge stays as dominant as he is, that he'll either find his way into the closer role or, you know, be like the guy that Craig chooses to put in like late in the game when, you know, it's like 3-4-5 or 4-5-6 due up for the opposing team. But that's just how I see it.
Mike, it was good to run into you. With all due respect, that's all the Cubs bullpen talk I want to have the rest of the year.
I don't blame you whatsoever. I appreciate you being a good sport when I met you today, Bart.
Yeah, it was good to meet you, Mike. I got to let you go. Appreciate the call. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Mike getting the full day. So I saw this guy before the game. I saw him after the game. We've just talked on the phone. Mike, I may have talked to you more than I talked to Carlos. I basically went to the game with Mike. And we had a great time, buddy. Yeah, we'll talk soon. 888-710-4ISN. It is the Bart Winkler Show.